This BizNews briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move from business as usual to Investec Business Banking. Well, hello, it's Monday the 24th of February. I'm Alec Hogg and it's my great pleasure to be with you through this week. Bronwyn will be back with me next week. We'll be sharing the responsibilities, but she's been holding the fort while I was abroad, so only fair that she takes a little bit of a break this week. Okay, on to the big story of the moment. The Social Research Foundation's poll is very carefully watched. Reason is that it's so damn accurate. The polls are done every 6 months or so on the major political parties. And the last time the poll came out, the ANC appeared to have benefited from the government of national unity. That was a poll done in September. Well, the latest one, which was done, note, before the 2 percentage point increase in VAT, or proposed anyway, and before stage 6 load shedding from Eskom, shows a precipitous plunge in ANC support. I was shocked, as you can see from the conversation that follows here with Gabriel Macon. He is the head of research, or the director of research, at the SRF. The full interview is on BizNews TV on YouTube. Now, did I read that correctly, Gabriel, that the ANC has gone from around 40% in the May election, up to 45% in September? That's the last time we spoke to your colleague from the SRF, Frans Grenier. And to the latest poll, 32%. Can that be true?
Hi, Alec. Yes. I was about as shocked as you sound when I first was looking at the poll numbers. But I think what we see here definitely makes a lot of sense. But top line, the most important thing for your viewers is that the ANC is at 32%, but nothing else really changed from September when we did our last poll. So the DA remains at 25%. MK Party remains about 12%. EFF's at 6%, IFP's at 3, PA's at 2, but there's a 4% margin of error on these numbers, so there's a bit of wider variance. But the thing that has grown is the number of undecided voters in South Africa's voting market, and this is truly undecided voters. So we have about 15% of likely voters who we cannot assign to any party. So why we were so accurate in our previous polls is we used various methods to assign voters to the different parties. And it's not just the question, who are you going to vote for in the next election? We also use leader favorability and party favorability. And we do that for every single party and every single leader. And if a voter indicates strong favorability above a certain threshold towards a single party or towards a leader, then we can also allocate them to that party when we're doing the the final turnout model. But this time, it's the first time in which we have 15% of voters are actually undecided, in that they say they don't know who they're going to vote for. And when we check them against all of the different thresholds for party and leader favorability, that we cannot allocate them to any party. They like none of them. We asked the question, should there be a vote of no confidence? Then we asked the question, if there was a successful vote of no confidence that therefore triggered an election, who would you vote for? And that, under those conditions, so they now have to think, okay, there's been a vote of no confidence. Cyril Ramaphosa is not the president of the ANC, but everyone else remains the same. The DA moves up slightly to 28%, becomes the biggest party under those conditions. The ANC, without Cyril Ramaphosa as a president, gets about 21%, and every other party stays the same. And the only growth, therefore, is really in the undecideds, which sit at 20%, which makes the undecideds the third biggest party in South Africa under those conditions. And so if President Ramaphosa no longer finds himself as president of South Africa, it tosses a whole number of new interesting challenges to the ANC, because he seems to be anchoring their support. But the problem is that the ANC has is that a majority of people are now opposed to President Ramaphosa's leadership. They want to see a motion of no confidence in him, or they want him to resign. And so it's a terrible conundrum that the ANC find themselves in.
It's quite hectic stuff, isn't it? Especially with Cyril Ramaphosa in a bit of a situation of, does he stay? Does he go? If he goes, look at the impact on the ANC. Boy, our politics is getting interesting. Well, just to add to the spice, the Freedom Front Plus has a new leader, Corné Mulder, and he's certain to reshuffle South Africa's political deck. I asked him whether, as the new FF Plus leader, he would keep the party in the government of national unity. And also, this full interview is on BizNews TV on YouTube.
The question mark that now arises is, but is the government of national unity exactly what we hoped it to be? And it's not all that clear. One must be realistic. The legislation that was signed by the president are all pieces of legislation that came from the previous parliament and were adopted by the previous government when the ANC was on all by themselves. The president did now assent to those things, and it sends a signal which is not good at all. But the challenge will come when we start to get new kinds of pieces of policy or pieces of legislation and see where we are. So at the moment, we are still there. I believe you have to be there. You have to be around the table where the decisions are taken that steer South Africa and that affect the people that we represent. You have to be there. But on the other hand, you cannot be just co-opted in a situation where you are there and you are being used while the ANC just pushes ahead with their own structures and their own policies. That you cannot do. So the party will obviously from time to time evaluate our position, and we will evaluate now where do we stand with regard to the government of national unity. Hopefully we can really steer South Africa with a truly government of unity where people are listening to one another. But if need be, we will step out. But we will take that kind of decision depending on how things develop going forward. And I must say, the utterances I heard this morning from coming from the presidency by way of their spokesperson, Mr. Mgwenwa, doesn't assist. That kind of rhetoric doesn't assist at all. But we will take it step by step. And whatever decision we will take will be a calculated decision by our structures. It will not be a knee-jerk reaction.
What kind of rhetoric, Corné?
Well, this morning he is quoted to say that South Africa is a sovereign country and that the ANC will not be told by anybody to change any of its policies or any of its laws. There was a lot of blame going towards AfriForum and Solidarity, claiming that they want to bring back apartheid, which is absolute rubbish. It's not true. Claiming those kind of things and then saying basically that the gains of our democracy will be protected. Yes, of course, the gains of our democracy needs to be protected. But our democracy cannot mean tyranny of the majority. That is not democracy. The government needs to also accommodate the aspirations of minorities and all communities in South Africa. And that is what you hope to find when you compromise in a government of national unity. But the kind of approach to say it's our way or the highway is not going to assist.
It's quite interesting in that context. We have the latest numbers out from the Social Research Foundation, which puts the ANC's popularity yes. now in the 30s and in the low 30s yes. at that. So I guess that's something else, that another flag that you could be waving. But would you wave it, or would Peter Groenewald wave it? And I suppose that's the second big question, is who's going to be serving in the cabinet?
Well, I've said from the beginning, I think Dr. Groenewald is doing excellent work in the portfolio he currently serves. I've got no problem that he continues to do exactly that. But I've been elected the leader of the party. So from our perspective, when government engages with the party, they should engage with the leader of the party as well as the structures. And we will convey that message to the president. We understand that the president has got his own prerogative to who he would invite into meetings where he speaks to the leaders of different political parties. And it's also the president's prerogative in terms of the appointment to the executive. We respect that. But from our perspective, the party has taken a decision in terms of leadership. And we will continue doing that in a constructive, positive manner. And Dr. Groenewald will continue doing his excellent work as well.
In the world of business banking, the bottom line can often triumph over relationships. At Investec, we value both. Make the move from business as usual to Investec Business Banking. Out of the ordinary.
At SunExchange, we make going solar simple, profitable, and completely risk-free. Join over 100 satisfied South African customers already enjoying the benefits of risk-free solar. Start saving today. Visit sunexchange.com and join the solar revolution.
Well, from the Freedom Front Plus to another of the smaller parties that is in the kingmaker role, the Patriotic Alliance, well, its leader, Gayton McKenzie, warned that the real worry in the future is not what happens to the ANC, but the tsunami that is called Jacob Zuma. He spoke to my colleague, Chris Stain, and here's a highlight. Once again, you can see the full interview on the BizNews channel on YouTube.
The next election, I can tell you, I'm usually writing those things, and Elek will tell you, you know. I can tell you that what can stop Jacob Zuma is a tsunami. I said it. I was the only one that said it. I'm still saying it. People take a little fight between two people in a party, and then they act like it is the end of their party. All parties have quarrels in it, and that's nothing. The nucleus of the party is still steady. That is, there's little quarrels that people now want to make. Oh, MK is breaking up because the secretary. No, we do that all the time in our party. We fire people. We hire people. So it's not a big thing, but here's the issue. I do believe that EFF is in a coma. For the next election, they'll be in a coma, but it's not the end of them. I think they will rise from that coma after 2026. But they will rise, this is my opinion, they will rise only after 2026. I think Malema's too smart to just die out and fizzle out in the political sphere. He's a wily old cat when it comes to his way around with politics. He has been here before. Don't forget that. And this time he didn't have a base. He didn't have a party. He didn't have party funding. And he managed to build something when he was doing cabbages there. So he managed to rise from that. And whether you like Malema, I don't like Malema. But I'm not going to lie about him. Malema was here before and he was in a better position. So he's going to come up again. It's going to take some time. It's going to come up. MK, the ANC can't stop MK. PA can't stop MK. The DA can't stop MK. What can stop MK is the GNU. Because you see, President Zuma made one mistake. He has built his whole campaign that the GNU is a sellout position. That's what he's done. He tells all in sundry the GNU is a sellout position. Now, if the GNU creates jobs, if the GNU creates opportunities, if the GNU, and people are going to go like, wait a minute, this GNU is not that bad. This GNU is not that bad. Let's give this GNU a chance. And that is what can stop MK.
Well, Gayton, the data does not support your position at the moment, but we respect and we must respect Gayton McKenzie's savvy. He has been accurate on his calling of the political scene in South Africa for many, many years. And so don't write off what he's saying now. If the GNU succeeds, all bets are off. Well, Chris's Sunday show with Neil De Beer is one of the most popular conversations amongst everything that's on BizNews TV. And in yesterday's show, the UIM president weighed in on the furore around South Africa's deteriorating situation with the United States of America. It's a must watch. More than 100,000 people tend to watch this show every week. If you are not with them, well, you're missing out. But let's pick up the highlight.
Yeah, you know, Chris, there comes a time, you know, I love Cook Sisters, but eight of them in one time is absolutely a killer. Now, I think America is starting to look at South Africa's leadership as a bunch of overloaded Cook Sisters. And they're going, it was like, but there's no dessert. So I think every attempt, as I now understand, of delegations. You know, Chris, we are sending delegations. It's as if any of the delegations are going to actually satisfy the United States of America's opinion about the current status quo. It's laughable. And you will remember I was also asked by a group of friends internally, H2A farmers, businessmen that are in Washington, and one or two leaders to also come there. And I said to myself, hoeveel osavas will you nou parkeer op die lawn? I mean, you can imagine all of us going there. Afriforum, Engelsforum, Solidariteit, Prioriteit, die Voortrekker Monument, Neil de Beer, and the Gazoo of Government. We are all coming there, standing in a queue, and waiting for Trump. And all that that guy will say, no, 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 no. And that's what they're going to do. So it's a waste of time. They told us they are not coming to the G20. Their state foreign affairs minister, secretary of state, he's not here. So they sent a minor person as an insult to us. So, Chris, what are we going to say to the United States that we already haven't buggered up? So they know where we are, and they are saying, we, as the United States, don't give a damn. Leave Iran. Withdraw your case at the ICJ. Declare that you are not supporting Hamas and Hezbollah. And finally, stop telling us that BRICS is your alternative. And then Cyril, he just doesn't know when to stop, Chris. He goes and says that the president of Ukraine, Mr. Zelensky, is absolutely welcome to come and have Koeksisters in Tuinhuis in South Africa. Nou as dit nie vir Donald gaan afpis nie en moerig maak nie. Then what else? It's as if you are continually picking on the spots where it hurts. So that is 2 days after, by the way, Donald Trump stopped close to calling Zelensky a terrorist. Now, Chris, here we go. This matter of us and America, no matter who you are, is not going to end until this president of ours comes back to reality, is not, you know, in my days, Chris, sorry, we had those comic books. You know, we had Reiter and Swart and the Swart Leiper and all of that, and Scope, because they had great articles. But here's the thing, Chris. Everybody is sitting here and going, when's the next thing going to happen? So we are sitting here and saying, until that's not done, America's not going to give us the recognition. They are not going to move forward. And I hear Mr. Ronald Lamola in a public statement says that he would love to go with a delegation, but America has not approved dates or times. I think we leave it there, because that sends a very big message to say, dankie, maar nee dankie, nee nee, change your attitude and we might relook you.
Reiter and Swart, he forgot Kit Kot. The political move to the right continued in Germany over the weekend. Here are our partners at Bloomberg with an assessment of the results of that election.
Well, Germany's conservative opposition leader, Friedrich Merz, says he'll form a new coalition government within the next 2 months after projections suggested that he won Sunday's federal election. His bloc is expected to finish ahead of the far-right AfD party and Chancellor Olaf Scholz's Social Democrats, which saw its worst result since World War II. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Oliver Cook, who joins us now from Berlin. And Oliver, great to have you with us. And I guess give us some context in terms of how surprising, unsurprising the aspects of these results that we know so far are.
Yeah, so listen, I'd say overall this is a sort of spectacularly unsurprising outcome, because the polls basically since November have been basically dead the same, and the outcome was more or less as anticipated, though there is some nuance within that is worth kind of unpacking. What happened here is that we had the CDU coming in, getting 30%. They are by far the largest party in Germany. This will give them this sort of initiative in order to build the next government. The SPD, as you mentioned, the Social Democrats, Olaf Scholz, that is the current chancellor of the country, coming in with his absolutely worst result, basically in history, that this party has ever seen. And of course, one of the main features of this election campaign has been the presence and the very active presence of the AfD, the Alternative for Deutschland, the far right group, which got 20% of the vote thereabouts, and really the first time they ever put up a chancellor candidate. What happens now is the very sort of difficult part of the thorny negotiations to build a coalition. They need to get more than 50% of the votes. We're still counting to the last few thousand votes. And actually, as a function of how many of these sort of votes actually voted for some of the smaller parties, these parties could get knocked out of the parliament and fundamentally change the arithmetic of how many parties could lead the country. So basically, what we're trying to find out now is if the CDU will have to enter into coalition with more than one party. Ideally, potentially, what they would like to do is have a CDU-SPD lead the country next, but that'll also be determined over the next couple of hours until we get those very sort of last votes.
What will be the top priorities for the new government once it's formed?
Yeah, so listen, one of the sort of main election issues going into this has been immigration. This is the AfD, the Alternative for Deutschland, the far right. This is something that they really sort of pushed very hard in the agenda, and it has forced the CDU really to tack to the right. But really, before everybody here in Germany, as we've been reporting over the last few months and years, really, it's been 2 years of consecutive contraction in Germany, the business model really not working out, and they're staring down the barrel of 25% tariffs from the United States on the auto industry, which would basically guarantee a third year of contraction. 3 years in a row has literally not happened since the end of the Second World War. So that is sort of one of the dire situations that Germany is looking at. I caught up with one of the senior CDU lawmakers when I was at the headquarters a little bit earlier this evening. Have a listen to what he said their priorities would be.
We do have a very clear mandate. Friedrich Merz will be our next chancellor in Germany. Olaf Scholz is done. And that's the good news of tonight. And we're going to change course of Germany. We will bring back growth. We will end illegal migration. We will meet our security needs, especially regarding to NATO goals. So, yes, that's a clear mandate for a change of policies.
Well, some good news now for shareholders in Process, which includes the BizNews community, as it is part of our model portfolio. 5 years ago, Prosus was in a bidding war with a Dutch company called Takeaway.com, where it attempted to buy the British company called Just Eat. Well, it walked away from that proposal after putting €6.2 billion on the table. Today, it announced that Prosus that it has bought Just Eat and Takeaway.com, which, by the way, merged, for €4.1 billion. So a substantial discount, a 33% discount on what it was prepared to pay for only one of the constituents. Our partners at Bloomberg have got the story.
We are very excited about what we are doing. We really believe that Europe needs investment, needs growth, and needs innovation. We really believe we can do much more on technology in Europe, and that's a little what's behind the deal. Just Eat is a leader in food delivery here in Europe. Just Eat has many markets that they are doing quite well. But together with Prosus, as you know, we have many food delivery businesses around the world, including iFood, one of the best operated food delivery businesses in the world. We believe we can invest here in Europe to get artificial intelligence, innovation, more people here in Europe, right, to be in the frontier of technology and innovation. So we are quite excited about that. We believe you can not only create a big European leader, but a big global leader based here in Europe.
And Fabrizio, you join us on the day where we're busy digesting a lot of political news flow from Germany and a lot of people asking questions about how Europe drives forward its economy. Is this deal a sign of corporate confidence in Europe's potential?
Exactly that. Europe needs to change your mindset to growth, to lead on innovation. And that's what Prosus believes. The biggest food delivery business in China, for example, is a $100 billion business. In US, more than a $100 billion business. In Europe, we don't have many big e-commerce or food delivery companies. We believe it has to be different. And we need us, the corporations based here in Europe, to take the risk to invest for that. We are investing not only a lot of money, but we are investing in technology. That's what I keep saying. To lead for the future, we need the best AI companies in the world based here. So our confidence is higher that we will have a turnaround in how Europe sees innovation growth, and we are ready to invest for that.
Well, that's interesting. So Just Eat is now part of the Prosus empire. You might recall as well that they already own Delivery Hero, which is the biggest takeaway food supplier in Germany. Just before we go, I'd strongly recommend that you sign up for BizNews Premium today to read a brilliant article by Professor Irina Filatova, who is Russian and lives in South Africa, has been teaching in South African universities for some years now, on the relationship between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin and how the Americans have effectively taken away what used to be the ANC's best friend and how the ANC is going to react to that, or how it can react to that, if at all. This has been your BizNews Briefing. Until tomorrow, cheerio. This BizNews Briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move to private banking service now for your business.